We have come into this house, magnify the Lord and worship Him. We have come into this house, magnify the Lord and worship Him. We have come into this house, magnify the Lord and worship Him. Worship Christ our Lord. We have come into this house, magnify the Lord and worship Him. We have come into this house, magnify the Lord and worship Him. We have come into this house, magnify the Lord and worship Him. Worship Christ our Lord. We have come into this house, magnify the Lord and worship Him. We have come into this house, magnify the Lord and worship Him. We have come into this house, magnify the Lord and worship Him. Worship Christ our Lord. Worship you, love and adore you, glory and honor to you, my God. Hallelujah. Praise your holy name. Praise God. Let's sing chorus number 4, All Things Are Possible.
All things are possible, all things are possible, all things are possible, He said it in His Word. There's nothing He can't do when we expect Him to. All things are possible to them that love the Lord. All things are possible, all things are possible, all things are possible, He said it in His Word. There's nothing He can't do when we expect Him to. All things are possible to them that love the Lord. All things are possible, all things are possible, all things are possible, He said it in His Word. There's nothing He can't do when we expect Him to. All things are possible to them that love the Lord. All things are possible, all things are possible, all things are possible, He said it in His Word. There's nothing He can't do when we expect Him to. All things are possible to them that love the Lord. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. I am trusting in His love divine. For every promise in the book is mine. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. I am trusting in His love divine. For every promise in the book is mine. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. I am trusting in His love divine. For every promise in the book is mine. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. I am trusting in His love divine. For every promise in the book is mine.
Glory, my God and King, praise You, love and adore You, my God. Hallelujah. Worship You. Thank You, my God. Thank You for Your Spirit. Glory to Your name, my God and King. Hallelujah.
Praise God. You may be seated. We have an announcement tonight. The craft organizers are asking that you please sign the workshop list on the board in the entryway. In case you forget, text Lori or Claudette so that we know you will be attending our workshop. This ensures we have all the supplies needed to complete projects. See Lori or Claudette if you have any questions. And another announcement. Our workshop room in the Sunday school building will be open to use during the free hours at camp. If you need help to finish on the existing project or have time to help with the welcome bags that we are making for the local Freedom House outreach, that would be great. But more importantly, stop by for the fellowship. See Claudette for questions. Praise Him. Let's sing chorus number 322, We've Got the Power. We've got the power in the name of Jesus. We've got the power in the name of the Lord. Though Satan rages, we shall not be defeated. We've got the power in the name of the Lord. We've got the power in the name of Jesus. We've got the power in the name of the Lord. Though Satan rages, we shall not be defeated. We've got the power in the name of the Lord. We've got the power in the name of Jesus. We've got the power in the name of the Lord. Though Satan rages, shall not be defeated. We've got the power in the name of the Lord. We've got the power in the name of Jesus. We've got the power in the name of the Lord. Though Satan rages, we shall not be defeated. power in the name of the Lord.
Give my God glory and honor to you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, my God and King. Glory and honor, worship. Praise to you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise him. Stillwater will come up. We have a song for tonight.
I'm so thankful to be in God's house tonight, and I'm so very excited for our camp that's coming up, and it's so wonderful when it gets close to camp time and folks arrive that we haven't maybe seen all year, or we haven't seen for many years. I'm so thankful to have Felicia and Faith here with us. I'm so thankful Isabel is with us. I'm so thankful that Carol is with us. And I'm just looking forward and anticipating so much to how wonderful it's going to be, all the hours of fellowship we're going to have together, and the hours of worshiping together, and the all the blessings that God has to pour out through his word and through his workshops. And I know it's going to be so wonderful. I'm looking forward so much to praying with each and every one of my brothers and sisters. It's such a blessing to be able to do that. And I love God so much, and I love this song we're singing tonight. We're singing Blessed Be Your Name. And the first time we sang that song was at a church camp, and the Spirit of God just fell in such a strong and mighty way. And I can picture it perfectly, opening my eyes, and we're so at the little camp out there, we're so crowded in, and opening my eyes, and people were praying about a foot from my face, and that just the power of God just fell. And this is one that we do at the parade every year as well. And when you're on the parade, on the float singing, it's so beautiful when we sing this song and you can see people. This is a song that everybody knows, and you can see people get excited and start to sing and start to clap as they hear that song when our float is coming down the road. And I just love God. I'm excited for what we have in store over the next few days, and just ask you to worship as we sing tonight.
Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. And blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place. Though I walk through the wilderness, blessed be your name. Blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name.
Blessed be your name, sun shining down on me, world's all as it should be, blessed be your name.
And blessed be your name, on the road marked with suffering, where there's pain in the offering, blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Give and take away, you give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. Every blessing you
blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name, Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. You give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. You give and take away. You give and take away. Will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name.
Dear Lord,
thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise you,
Lord. Glory and honor to you. Love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory and worship to you, Lord. Praise your holy name. Thank you, my God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. You may be seated. Let's sing Victory Shall Be Mine, chorus number 312.
Victory, victory shall be mine. Victory, victory shall be mine. If hold my peace, let the Lord fight my battles. If hold my peace, let the Lord fight my battles. Victory, victory shall be mine. Victory, victory shall be mine. Victory, victory shall be mine. If I hold my peace, let the Lord fight my battles. If I hold my peace, let the Lord fight my battles. Victory, victory shall be mine. Victory, victory shall be mine. Victory, victory shall be mine. If hold my peace, let the Lord fight my battles. If hold my peace, let the Lord fight my battles. Victory, victory shall be mine. Victory, victory shall be mine. Victory, victory shall be mine. If hold my peace, let the Lord fight my battles. If hold my peace, let the Lord fight my battles. Victory, victory shall be mine. He's coming back. He's coming back. Looking up. He's coming back. No chance can hold him. Power controls him. He's gone away. He's coming back. He's coming back. He's coming back. Keep looking up. He's coming back. No chains can hold him. No power controls him. He's gone away. He's coming back. He's coming back. He's coming back. Keep looking up. He's coming back. No chance can hold him. Power controls him. He's gone away.
coming back. You, Lord Almighty, hallelujah. Love you, adore you, my God. Glory to your name, my God and King. Hallelujah. Praise you, worship you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. You may be seated. Jocelyn?
Oh, I just want to stand tonight, tell my God how much I love him, and just thank him so much for being in his house of worship tonight, and he's so worthy to be praised. I love him. I love his music, and I thank him for the song that we sang, for Blessed Be Your Name, and he's just so worthy, and I'm so thankful that we live here in Alaska. It is so beautiful, and just thank him for all this nature surroundings that we have here. I thank him for my church family here, and for all the love that they share for our family. I appreciate that so much. I thank him for his Holy Spirit, and I just have a heart full of thanksgiving, and I just want him to know I don't take my life in him for granted. I love him so much.
Praise him. Paul?
Yeah, I just want to thank God tonight for his love and mercy and being able to be here every service. It's just middle of the week, and just as crazy as the world is right now, it's just such a relief to come in here and just worship God and forget about everything that's going on outside. So excited about camp coming up and what God's going to do for us.
Amen.
What he can do for us if we'll just look at ourselves and really line ourselves up with the Word of God, that there's nothing that he can't do for this body of believers. And I believe that tonight, and I bank on that. That's my hope and my, that's just what I want in God. I want every one of us to be happy and full of peace and joy and ready for him to come back. And, one more thing, John Wimberly will be in tonight about 9:30, and God has answered your prayers because he's bringing his family with him. They'll be in Kenai between 9:30 and 10 o'clock. So. A month ago, before all this started happening, or a couple of months ago, that was an impossibility. And now they're coming, and there was no problems with anything, just when we go into Alaska. So. Praise God that he does answer our prayers, and hopefully that God would be able to move on them and show them what he's really all about. We love him tonight. I'm just so happy about the hope that God gives us for our families, for just everyone. Just there's hope in this world. There is hope, and we have it. We have everything that the world is looking for. We have it right here. And it just overflows my heart when I see all of our prayers and all of our concerns answered. It's everything's in God's time, I know, but it's nice to see some curve. I'll put it that way. Mm-hmm. I love him tonight, and thank him for everything he's done in my life, for everybody here's life, for the church.
Amen. Praise him. Mark?
I just want to stand and praise the Lord also. Paul's testimony and Jocelyn's reminded me of this, and I'm just so glad that camp time is a time of our family, our broad family, coming back together, and I thank the Lord for Faith and Felicia being able to get here safely and be here for this, even though there's an awful lot of work demands at home, that to have her be here is wonderful, and Faith too. Just praise the Lord for the way he pulls us together.
Let's sing our last song tonight before we hear from the Word of God. Chorus number 3, All Hail King Jesus.
All hail King Jesus, all hail Emmanuel, King of kings, Lord of lords, bright morning star. And through all eternity, I'm going to praise him. And I'll reign with him in all eternity. All hail King Jesus, all hail Emmanuel, King of kings, Lord of lords, bright morning star. And through all eternity, I'm going to praise him. And I'll reign with him in all eternity. All hail King Jesus, all hail Emmanuel, King of kings, Lord of lords, bright morning star. And through all eternity, I'm going to praise him. And I'll reign with him in all eternity.
Thank you, my God. Hallelujah. Praise you. Love and adore you, my God. Hallelujah. Glory to your name, my God. Praise you. Praise you, my Lord. You all stand with me for the Word of God tonight.
Please be seated. It's so good to be back in the house of the Lord. It's so good to see each of you. It's even better to be seen. That means I'm here. I guess I've gotten a little bit spoiled over the years. When I was younger, in my 20s and 30s, I used to work a lot of long hitches that were 8 and 12 and 13 weeks long, and just being gone for 3 weeks seemed like it was months, not just because I was away from my natural home, but because I was away from my spiritual home and my family. And even though we listened to the teachings, it's definitely not the same to be here and feel that spirit that fills this particular room. We are in the book of Acts, chapter 17. And I just wanted to say something before we get started. I was changing planes in Seattle, and Didi and I were in the boardroom, and I was texting back and forth with a brother that we're gonna be doing a workshop with, and just talking about God's word and feeling the excitement of it. And, you know, I texted and I said, I'm just humbled and privileged to be part of God and part of God's word. And I just could feel God's spirit so strongly right there in the boardroom surrounded by people, and the tears began to fall. And I thank God so much that he's a God that's that real, that he can come down and touch us and we can feel him and feel his hand. And I can't imagine what it would be to have a God or serve a God that you didn't feel that closeness. I'm forever thankful for his peace and his joy. We're in Acts, the 17th chapter. And Lynn covered some of this last week, primarily in verse 1. But we're going to be in Acts, the 17th chapter, verses 1 through 4. And I'll read their scriptures first. Verse 1 says, "Now they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, and they came to Thessalonica. There was a synagogue of the Jews." And verse 2 says, "And Paul, as his manner was, went unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and rise again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ." And verse 4 says, "And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few." And so our question tonight is question number 2. Question number 2 says, in verse 2, Paul reasoned with the people, and in verse 3, he was opening and alleging to them. What do these words tell us about Paul's work among the Thessalonians and find scriptures that he could have called upon for these purposes? So there's actually really 3 questions there, but I'll go ahead and open up to the floor. Let's first talk about this section here, Paul reasoned with them. What exactly did you find on this Paul reasoning with them? Tracy?
Just in looking up the translation of that word, the Greek translation, and I'll probably butcher the pronunciation, dialexado, means to have a dialogue or discuss, which to me denotes a two-way conversation. It wasn't just him talking. There was a full discussion happening about Christ and who he was preaching.
Amen. There was an interaction. Anyone else? This reasoning. What did you find on reasoning? Ron, up here.
When I think about that, I have to go back to the scripture where Jesus, right before he left, and this was in Luke, the 24th chapter, in verse 45. And he said, "Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures." God's got to open your understanding to this or you can't see it. And he was trying to relate that to the disciples so that they could understand it. And this is really my mission here, what I want you to do, and this is how I want you to do it. And they need to see it through God's eyes to be able to know that.
Amen. Makes you think of that. One plants, another one waters. It's got to be God that gives the increase. God that opened the eyes. Anyone else, this reasoning? Paul?
It's a discussion between two people that, and even if they contend, if you can show them scripture-wise what the Word of God really teaches, which is what Paul did. He always went back to the old prophets and showed them in the Old Testament. Actually, he gave most of them a history lesson. That this was prophesied a long time ago, and this is the real deal now. This is the Christ that we've been waiting for. But he showed them that by Scripture. And then that takes all that arguing and stuff away. If you either believe the Scriptures or you don't.
Right. He that has a love for the truth. Anyone else before we look at a few more scriptures? Okay, well, let's look at today's word first of all. What it considers reasoning, it says, the power of the mind to think, understand, and form judgments by a process of logic. And as Paul just said, what else do we have as God's people to help others understand other than to bring the Word of God to them? That is the most logical, most powerful thing that we have to help others understand His way. Let's we're going to go to a couple scriptures where we see this reasoning at play. The first ones I think of, we're not going to turn specifically to these, but I want you to think about them before we go into these other scriptures. And if we remember the story of David and Nathan, you know, where David had sinned, and he was the king, and you see that Nathan comes to him in the power of God and with the wisdom of God. And he doesn't just approach him and say, you are wrong, you're a sinner. You know, he comes to him and he gives him a story about a rich man and a poor man, and of how the poor man only had one lamb and the rich man had everything, and yet he took that one lamb. And David became enraged. And then, of course, Nathan, with the wisdom of God reasoning with him, said, you're that man, right? It's pretty hard to turn away from that type of reasoning, because it's the reasoning of God, not our own natural reasoning. And then I think of the other reasoning where we see Moses and Korah in the desert. And we know Korah rose up against Moses and God and with nearly 300 others. And we see that Moses wasn't upset because they rose up against him as an individual, but he reasoned with them and tried to instill that fear into them that they were rebelling against God. And yet, in this particular case, unlike David, Korah and his followers chose not to listen to the reasoning. And we know the end of him was the ground opened up and swallowed them and they all died. So it's really important for us in the Spirit of God and with the mind of God to listen into this reasoning. Let's turn to the 1 Samuel in the Old Testament. 1 Samuel and chapter 12. And here we see a leader, a prophet full of God, who loves and cares for his people. And we see there's an interaction, a dialogue, as Tracy said, between this spiritual leader and the people. And in 1 Samuel chapter 12, starting in verse 6, it says, "And Samuel said unto the people, it is the Lord that advanced Moses and Aaron, and that brought your fathers up out of the land of Egypt." So you see the beginning of this reasoning is to get them to understand that the power, the direction, the guidance that they need is not within themselves. Verse 7, he says, "Now therefore stand still, that I may reason with you before the Lord of all the righteous acts of the Lord, which he did to you and your fathers. When Jacob was first come into Egypt, and your fathers cried unto the Lord, then the Lord sent Moses and Aaron, which brought forth your fathers out of Egypt and made them dwell in this place. And when they forgot the Lord, their God, he sold them into the hand of Sisera, captain of the host of Hazor, and into the hands of the Philistines, into the hands of the king of Moab, and they fought against them. And they cried unto the Lord and said, we have sinned because we have forsaken the Lord and served Balaam and Ashtaroth, but now deliver us out of the hand of our enemies, and we will serve thee." And so we see there's a interaction to try to get this group of people to have spiritual reason, to look at what they were doing and to look at what was right and what was wrong. Let's turn again to Isaiah, the first chapter. Isaiah chapter 1. And see another example of this reasoning. All of these scriptures here that I found, they made me think of that scripture in Proverbs chapter 3 that says that we're supposed to trust in the Lord with all of thine heart and lean not unto thy own understanding, but unto the reasoning of God, into his perfect word. Isaiah, the first chapter, in verse 16, we're going to read from verse 16 to 20. It says, "The Lord wants us in," or I'm sorry, that's my thoughts. The Bible says here, "Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes, cease to do evil. Learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." Aren't we thankful tonight that we have a God through his word that will reason with us, maybe to get us to stop, to stand still, to pause, to maybe examine what we're doing and see if we are aligned with the word of God. That is the reasoning that I want in my life every day. Let's look at one more scripture on reasoning, and then we'll go back to the rest of our question for tonight. Let's turn to Matthew, the 16th chapter. Matthew chapter 16. We're going to start in verse 5. And it says, "And when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. And Jesus said unto them, Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves." Is it good for us to reason among ourselves if the word of God is absent? Because then we reason with a natural mind and not with the mind of God. And it says, "They reasoned among themselves, saying, It is because we have taken no bread, which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason among yourselves, because ye have brought no bread? Do you not understand that neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets ye took up, neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets you took up? How is it that you do not understand that I speak, if not to the concerning the bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees?" So in verse 12, it also says, "And then understood they how that he bade them not to beware of the leaven of the bread, but the doctrine of the Pharisees and Sadducees, which is not the doctrine of God." And this is what Ron was just saying a moment ago, is that it has to be God that opens our eyes. It has to be our love and our desire for the truth if we have not yet heard it, and to keep that truth in our life if we have heard it. But we have to have that love for the truth, and then he has to open our eyes. Any other comments before we move to the next section? Okay. The rest of that question, it says, "And he was opening and alleging to them." What do these words tell us about Paul's work among the Thessalonians? Claudette?
Well, when I read the definitions of opening and alleging, it reminded me of a couple of different things, like someone in court, you know, when they have an opening statement and they say, "This is what I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to show you the things that I can back up what I'm saying." And so then he takes them to the Old Testament in the scriptures that describe Jesus' died, you know, death, burial, and resurrection. I mean, Isaiah 53, 11, and 12 is a perfect description of what he's telling them, and they can understand that. And just another side note, there's like the Messiah is mentioned in the Old Testament like 39 times, and so they knew. And there's many other scriptures that describe Jesus in various ways, but in the Old Testament, but to me that one was the clearest one.
Isaiah 11 and 12. And we're going to actually go there before the end of the evening.
11 and 12, yeah.
Thank you. Anyone else? Opening and alleging. Rick?
So the word open, looking it up in Greek, to expound. And I picked out I looked at some different scriptures that had that same Greek word in it, and there was when Jesus was walking with the disciples, and they didn't know that it was him, and that's Luke 24, 31 and 32, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight, and they said one to another, "Did not our heart burn within us while we talked with him by the way, and while he opened to us the scripture?" There was also the one about Lydia that we just studied in chapter 16, where Lydia, whose heart the Lord opened. And then another one, I guess it was really the ones I picked out for opened. But it's just the natural man in 1 Corinthians 2:14, the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and because they're spiritually discerned. And any of us that have received the Holy Ghost, you know the difference. God, it's your eyes are opened, your understanding.
Sheep know his voice. Amen. Jocelyn?
So I came up with Paul reasoned with the people. He was bringing forth something to them. So for opening is to bring forth, to communicate, to explain and prove, to give understanding. And the scripture I came up with was Psalms 119:30. The entrance of thy words giveth light, and it giveth understanding unto the simple. Jesus is the light. Jesus is the Christ. And he was wanting to explain it to the people. And if their eyes were open to that, they could understand what he was saying, if they were open to that.
Amen. Anyone else? Opening or alleging? Rick, did you have another one?
I thought about I didn't mention anything about alleging, but looking up that word the same way the Greek word is to put forth or to set before. And some scriptures, again, that had that same word in, that same Greek word, was where the two fishes, when Jesus took the five loaves of bread and two fishes, and he set before them, feeding his people. So naturally, spiritually.
Amen.
Being fed. And there's another one that another parable put he forth unto them. This is in Matthew 13:31, saying the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. And he put forth to them, put before them. Understanding. Yeah. Spiritual.
Thanks, Rick. You took half my scriptures. It's not surprising, though. One mind and accord, right? It's one spirit. Anyone else, opening or alleging? Okay, someone mentioned, I don't remember who it was, but they said something like an accord. I think it might have been Claudette, or opening and alleging. But when we think of the word today, alleging, we think of someone who has made a statement about something, and yet it's yet to be proved, right? It lacks maybe facts. That's the way we use the word today. But as many of you have already found out, looking up the word alleging means actually a little bit something as it was different as it was used here. And I found that alleging is to set before one in teaching, or to set forth to explain, as some of you said, to declare or attest to, were some of the words that I found that related to that as it was used in this particular instance. And that's what Paul was going to do. He was going to attest to the fact that Jesus was, in fact, the Messiah. He was going to declare unto them what the Old Testament said and how it applied to them today. And I found, let's go to one scripture first before, which is very familiar to us, 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. We see an example here of someone alleging or attesting to or setting the truth before someone. 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, and starting in verse 1. And he says here, Paul says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures." So here we see an example of alleging or declaring a statement to explain or set forth before someone. And then under opening, I found some of the same things that you found here, but I also think it's important to take even a look at what we look at the word opening today in the dictionary. And as I read the definitions, think about how it applies to the spiritual. First of all, it says an opening is an aperture or a gap, especially one allowing access. Does that sound like it could be applied to the spiritual? an opening or a gap that would allow access. And even the second definition in today's dictionary, I think, applies, and it says here, a beginning or an initial part. And we think of that scripture in Mark 16:5, where Jesus said, "Go ye unto all the world and preach the gospel." That is the beginning. That is the opening. That is the start. And we often hear in everyday language, we hear someone say, "They gave me an opening." What does that mean? They gave you an opportunity, right? During the conversation or the dialogue, if your mind is where it should be and someone says something, they allow you an opening, a chance to declare the gospel. And this actually happened to me in a class I just taught in Prince George, Canada. I was there to teach ultrasonic inspection, which is somewhat dry. But as I was teaching it during break, one of the students said, "I notice you don't swear." Now, is that an opening? Yeah. So we had a conversation about the scriptures, and you know, he said, "Well, if you swear, does that mean you can't be religious?" And I took him to the scripture that says, if a man can't control his tongue, his religion is in vain. And he said he'd never heard that scripture before. And so I may never see that young man again, but the opening was there, and I took it. And he won't forget it. And maybe one plants a seed, another one waters, God gives the increase. So you also hear sometimes the references, they open their mind. It's what we were talking about here tonight, right? Ron said it, is that there's a chance that if they're hungry and they want the truth, and God's working with them and you're the instrument, God can open the mind. And that's exactly what was happening here with Paul, was he was opening and alleging, amen? Anyone else before we go to a couple more scriptures, opening or alleging, any comments on that? I know this must be near and dear to our evangelists here in the audience, right? It's what you live for, amen? Let's go to Romans, the first chapter. Romans chapter 1. And I think that these next couple scriptures that we take a look at and that we share are going to definitely reinforce this opening and the opening that Paul took here in Thessalonica. Romans chapter 1, starting in verse 14. And Paul says here, "I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as it is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Amen. And that was Paul's manner, was to take it when he went into these cities that had a Jewish population or a synagogue, was to first take it to the synagogue, take it to the Jews. But we see in this particular set of scriptures that it also spread to the Greeks, and it spread to the chief women. It wasn't something that just stayed with the Jewish people. Let's turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, and we're going to go to the fourth chapter. 2 Timothy in chapter 4. We're just going to read verses 1 and 2. And it says, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ." Now let me stop for a moment. What is the word in this application, what does the word charge mean? Get your attention. I'm laying this before you. Remember just the story we just finished in Acts where the jailer was charged with keeping them in the prison? Because that was something that was given to him as something he had to commit to and fulfill. And we know in that story, if he would have lost those prisoners, it would have meant his life. He was charged to do this. So let's think about that, and I'm going to read this again. This is read to the saints at the time, but it also applies to us throughout the generations. And he says here that, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. In season and out of season, whatever opening that is given you, be ready. Amen. And be not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Colossians chapter 1. And we're going to start at verse 25. Colossians 1:25 says, "Wherefore I am made a minister." Is there anyone here tonight that has not received the Holy Ghost who believes they are not a minister? We're ministers of reconciliation, right? "Wherefore I have made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints." God has to open our mind first, amen? "To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Wherefore I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily." Is there any doubt, if you've received God's Spirit, that you don't have inside of you what you need to have to do this ministering and to be able to bring this word forth when there's an opening? If you doubted that, it's right here, right? "Greater is he that is in us that is in the world." You know, I stand before you tonight as an imperfect man, but God chose me to fill me with the Holy Spirit and to every day become more perfect until he comes back. I'm not perfect. I make mistakes. I need his mercy. Amen, Buck? I need his mercy, but when I do make a mistake, it breaks your heart. You have to look at God and know that you failed it. And if I want that mercy from God, shouldn't we give the mercy to each other? Amen? The last part of this question talks about some other scriptures, and Claudette brought up one of those. Does anyone else have any scriptures that Paul could have called upon during this time? Scriptures about the Messiah in the Old Testament. Okay, well, let's go to the... Paul, you got one? He's got a whole pocket full right over here. Oh, I'm sorry, Lori.
That's okay. I was just going to say that in Isaiah, there's a lot of them, and especially it would be, I think it was Isaiah, I can't read my notes, 43, 3 to 11, but especially verse 11, and this is where he says about, mentions the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, and their Savior. And then again in Hosea 13:4, saying that he says, "I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior." I'm just paraphrasing, so...
Amen. Thank you, Lori. Paul? Well, Buck has one too.
I got it down here, but you want to give me a second. I got it right here.
He's going to be instant in season.
I got to get to the right page. Isaiah, 40th chapter. Verse 3 to 5, "The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye a way for the Lord. Make straight the desert highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all the flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it."
Amen. Anyone else before we go to Isaiah 53? Paul says he has six more. No, I'm just kidding. All right, let's go to Isaiah, the 53rd chapter. Claudette brought this one up. So Isaiah chapter 53. And in Isaiah 53, we're going to start in verse 3. Isaiah 53:3. And it says here that in Isaiah 53:3, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him, and he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off of the land of the living, and for the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. He was perfect. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, and he has put him to grief. With thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, and he shall see his seed, and he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and he shall be satisfied by his knowledge. Shall my righteous servant justify many? For he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he has poured out his soul into death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sins of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Now, if that is not an absolutely perfect account of what Jesus went through in the Gospels, and yet that was written many, many, many years prior to what actually took place. God puts these in the Word for us to see and to know that he is God. There's a scripture, I believe, in Romans, the first chapter, that says that we know there's a God by the very things that we see that he created. But we even know more that there's God when we read his perfect Word. I've got one last scripture I want to read. Before I do that, I want to ask, does anyone else have anything that you wanted to add so far? Any questions or comments? Okay. I chose this last scripture because, well, I should say God chose it, because I think it takes everything that we've talked about to this point, and it literally puts it together in an action that a man took. Just like we saw Paul in this particular city preaching unto these folks, we see the culmination of all of this into one particular story. We've covered this a few months back, but I think it's worth looking at again, and that's in the book of Acts chapter 8. Let's go to Acts chapter 8. And if you think about everything that we've talked about tonight, what you found and what you brought up and what God has brought here tonight from the pulpit, and then let's apply that to this story, because I think it's an absolute mirror of what God would have us be and what God would have us do. Acts chapter 8, and we're going to start in verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go towards the south unto the way that goeth down to from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is the desert. And so we see in this first particular scripture that Philip was in a place and his mind was open unto God's Spirit. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all of her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. Does God really care what we have and or don't have in this world? Whether we're rich or have authority or power, or whether we have education or we don't have education, none of that's important. And he said he was returning and sitting in his chariot, reading Isaiah, which is to say Isaiah, the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to the chariot. Then this, in verse 30 says, and Philip ran. I love that part. He didn't mosey on down there or think about it or reason within himself. He just did what God told him to do. And he did it with expedience. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read of the prophet Isaiah and said, understandeth what thou readeth? Did he have an opening? Was there an aperture? Was he able to step into that for God? And the man said, how can I except some man should guide me? Do you think those people are still out there today that want to know, I need some man or some woman to guide me? Someone full of the Holy Ghost with the mind of God who's not ashamed of the gospel? Amen. How can I accept that some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. And in his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet? Of himself or some other man? Opening number 2. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached to him Jesus. He declared unto him the gospel. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What does hinder me to be baptized? He just told him about repenting and the baptism in Jesus' name and receiving the Holy Ghost. And this man didn't want to wait. God had opened his mind. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. That's amazing. The power of God made the chariot stop and the animal stood still. And they went down both in the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Remember, we are all rejoicing after we receive the Holy Ghost. We were baptized in his name. But Philip was not found in Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. That wasn't only Paul's manner to teach in these cities and to preach the gospel. That was all of his disciples' manner, to preach throughout every city to every people and to every person. That was their charge. That was what they were alleging. Amen. Anyone else? Praise God. Any final comments? Amen. Rick?
This altar's open to you tonight. Won't you come and receive all that God has for you and really reach to him, love him, let him work his work in you. Let him fill you with your spirit, with his spirit, full and overflowing. Reach to him tonight, won't you? Won't you come to this altar? Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. I love you, adore you, I bow down before you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Love you, adore you, bow down before you. Heavenly Father,
Heavenly Father, what a wonder you are. Heavenly Father, what a wonder you are. You lead us, you guide us, you live right inside us. Heavenly Father, what a wonder you are. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. You lead us, you guide us, you live right inside us. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Love you, adore you, bow down before you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. My rest is complete when I kneel at thy feet. Sweet Spirit, sweep over soul, sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. My rest is complete when I kneel at thy feet. Sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. My rest is complete when I kneel at thy feet. Sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. And you will find rest unto your soul, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. And you will find rest unto your soul, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. And you will find rest unto your soul, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light.